Blog Talk Radio.
Got a Friday show. That's my jingle. Remember that, what was that girl's name who did the Friday, gotta have fun on Friday? I forget her name, but she did a single, did this song, probably like her rich dad financed it, and it blew up on the internet because it was just that bad. Poor girl. She was raked over the coals for wanting to be a superstar and having no singing talent. Starting off on a random note, because that's how we do it, especially on a Friday. So I have some real scandals involving the Trump administration, which nobody's going to cover. We're going to be the only people focusing on it. Figures. I'm going to lead with that. Then the Democrats roll over and spread their butt cheeks for the Republicans. Wait until you hear the vote tallies for Trump's most extreme and ridiculous appointments. It's going to feel like you're in a bad movie. I mean, it already feels like you're in a bad movie because we have to say President Trump. But it's actually going to get worse. So buckle up and get ready for it. When I tell you who the new picks are and how they got approved. And furthermore, a little bit later on in the show today, we tried to get at this yesterday, but we have a bunch of right-wing commentators who went full Christian fundamentalist in attacking liberals who go after Trump. Apparently we're witches and we're doing sorcery and stuff. And a sad story about somebody speaking out for undocumented immigrants. Undocumented immigrants who, by the way, didn't commit a crime. And then they just got rounded up and about to be deported. So really sad stuff. But anyway, let's go ahead and get started here. A lot to get to. And we're going to start with what a real scandal looks like. And I hope the mainstream media is paying attention here. So Carl Icahn is one of Trump's billionaire buddies. And Trump recently appointed him to be the deregulation czar. Now, Trump says that, hey, this isn't really an official White House position, and it's not an official White House position, but the reason why they did that is because that would mean that Icahn has to divest from all of his countless business ventures. So, you know, they could have put him on the Economic Council. He could have been a top advisor to him, but Icahn and Trump were like, how about we don't do that, because then I can still, you know, make all this money through the various companies that I own and all the investments I have. So basically what this means is Icahn is advising Trump, and he has countless personal business entanglements at the same time. Well, guess what? You'll be not surprised and not shocked to learn that they just made a massively corrupt deal. So Icahn just changed an obscure rule about renewable sources in oil. So by law, it has to be 15% ethanol most of the year. So that's an attempt to try to make it more clean. Well, David Dayan of The Intercept explains here, one of the more arcane elements of the current rule is that oil refiners are responsible to make sure the rule is followed, not the gasoline wholesalers. Icahn is the majority owner of CVR Energy, a refiner who does not have the infrastructure to blend ethanol. As a result, CVR must buy renewable fuel credits to comply with their obligation. In its most recent SEC filing, CVR stated it spent $205.9 million last year on renewable fuel credits. Okay, so now that Icahn has this position and he's advising Trump and he's trying to make changes, remember, it's supposed to be, oh, yes, I'm going to advise in terms of what's good for the American people. Well, he just changed that rule, so now the wholesalers have to blend it and not the refiners. Remember, he owns a refinery, so he is a refiner. He didn't have the resources to blend it himself, and then now he's saying, let me unload this cost onto the wholesalers and make them do it, because as a result of that, Carl Icahn will personally save about $200 million a year through crony capitalism by doing this deal. And the report in The Intercept is that an executive order from Trump on this front is imminent. Look, this is exactly what we talk about when we say Trump is the swamp. This is exactly what we mean when we say he's engaging in the legalized bribery. He's helping out his buddies. Crony capitalism 101. And this is the problem, man. This is why everybody hated Hillary Clinton. Oh, you're doing self-dealings when we talk about the Clinton Foundation. Oh, you're, you know, trying to personally enrich yourselves and your friends at the expense of the American people. Well, what the hell do you think this is? They're spending their time trying to make themselves more rich and not caring about the American people. And this is one of just many examples, but it's particularly egregious because all it is Trump's buddy getting Trump to sign an executive order, and as a result of it, the guy saves $200 million a year. I mean, that's not chump change even for somebody who's a billionaire, as Carl Icahn is. So while everybody in the mainstream media is screaming about Russia, and while they're relying on outrage and scandals that where the dots are not fully connected, and there's a lot of implications, and there's a lot of, you know, an attempt to bullshit you into believing, for example, that Trump is a puppet of Vladimir Putin. Instead of focusing on that nonsense, why not focus on the real scandals? Why not focus on something like this? Because this actually would generate outrage, because there's truth to it, and this would make it so that the American people say, oh, you're just like the rest of them, and you may even be worse because you're more brazen with your corrupt dealings and your personal enrichment and looking out for your buddies and your nepotism. So, but there is a reason why they don't focus on this. Number one, it's not sensational. Number two, the media are part of the establishment. They are the elite. So what happens when they're all part of that same circle? You can't really focus on stuff like this because even under presidents that you adore and that you love, you have corrupt deals going on, and you can't set the precedent of going after the corruption because then you'd have to talk about the corruption with the administrations you love. So there's like a silent agreement that, hey, everything we discuss has to be not about that, because if it's about that, then eventually the game gets blown up for everybody. And it's not nefarious. It's that they hire people. They wouldn't be in the position that they're in if they really rock the boat and if they really question the underlying assumptions of the way the system works. I mean, this is Noam Chomsky's Manufacturing Consent 101. There's a reason why Don Lemon gets a lot of airtime on CNN. There's a reason why Wolf Blitzer gets a lot of airtime on CNN, because they've been properly vetted, and they've gone through the different filters in the system, and everybody knows, hey, you know, put them on air. They're kind of airheady, and they won't question the underlying assumptions as to how the system works. So with Don Lemon, the worst you get is the offhanded stupid comment about, hey, maybe that missing plane went into a black hole. Oh, my God, you're so stupid. Who says that? With Wolf Blitzer, anytime he says something stupid, it's a bias in favor of the establishment. So he says, hey, I'm really concerned when Rand Paul wanted to stop arming Saudi Arabia. Wolf Blitzer said, yeah, but Rand, what about all the jobs that'll be lost by, you know, if we stop selling machines of death to Wahhabi maniacs? What about the profits of the defense contractors? See, these are the kinds of people you hire. Because if somebody were to get on air and say, hey, this is crazy, we have a military-industrial complex that gets rich off of selling death and destruction around the world, well, then you wouldn't be in that position. You'd be fired immediately. You wouldn't have gone through stage one in the vetting process. So that's why you don't hear about stuff like this. And also, they have the attention span of a gnat, so they can't get through the entire article explaining the corrupt dealings with Carl Icahn and Donald Trump and the refinery and the wholesaler. They get to the word refinery, and they're like, oh, I need a break. Somebody get me a mojito. I'm tired of this. So, I mean, it's just so, so, so sad to see that the real scandals are there, man. I mean, there's a reason why our government, or I should say Congress, has a 9% approval rating on a bad day and a 21% approval rating on a good day. It's because everybody knows they're voting for the lesser of two evils in every election, and everybody knows that the politicians are representing the special interests who paid for their campaigns. But that will not get discussed. That will not get discussed on air, because to do that is to say the United States is functioning as an oligarchy and not a democracy. And God forbid you say something that extreme, but it's also true, on air. Again, you wouldn't be in that position. You wouldn't be one of the lead anchors on CNN. You know, Erin Burnett on CNN, which, by the way, she is still alive and she does still have a show on CNN. I know nobody watches it, so I just want to reassure you of that. You know, her biggest moment was scolding the Occupy Wall Street protesters. Really? Really? You guys are, like, questioning Wall Street? Really? I'm not kidding. She did a whole rant scolding them. That's why she's in the position that she's in. So real scandals, no coverage. Nonsense scandals about Russia, you know, talking about, hey, Kanye West and President Trump met, Steve Harvey and President Trump met, let's talk about that and how they're going to help inner-city kids. Shit like that. Let's talk about that nonstop. But when he actually is engaged in corrupt deals, legalized bribery, things of that nature, got nothing to say. Okay, next. Let's go to some of the people who were approved. Uh-oh. I didn't want this to happen, but it happened, so we got to discuss it. The one and only Dr. Ben Carson has been approved to be Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. I made the joke when this happened, but I think it's true. I'm pretty sure President Trump sat down and looked at all the different governmental positions that he had to fill, and he saw the word urban in the title, and he said, somebody get Dr. Carson. He's a tremendous urban, tremendous inner city. Believe me, let me just tell you. He's my African-American, let me just tell you. So he picked him for housing and urban development, which he has no experience in. You know, he was a fucking surgeon. What are you doing? But he picked him, and even though Ben Carson said at the time, look, I can't have a government position like that. I mean, I don't know anything about it. I would make the Trump administration worse. And then he's like, yeah, I'll take the position. Thank you very much. What the fuck is going on? So what was the vote count? Now, obviously, we're talking about Ben Carson. So even though he was approved, 51, right? It's got to be low. Ben fucking Carson. Ben Carson. No, he got 58 votes, which means that some Democrats voted for him to become Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. Why? Why would you do that? Why? I don't get these Democrats, man. You know, the old thing I would say is that, oh, they're all corrupt. but it appears like many of them are actually just stupid too. Like, you're making life easy for Justice Democrats. Justice Democrats, of course, is the movement to purge the party of the corporatists. And we're pretty successful right now. I mean, we've had over 7,000 nominations, 70 people who've gotten through four rounds of vetting. I mean, we're coming, man. We are rising up, and we have a lot of momentum behind us. We've raised almost $1 million so far for what we're doing here, because we want principled, non-corrupt progressives with backbone to take over the party. And they're just saying, okay, let me make it easier for you. So the Democrats who voted for him, listen to this, Sherrod Brown, who actually usually does a good job. Sherrod Brown voted for him. Joe Donnelly, Blue Dog Democrat, corporate Democrat, Donnelly is. Heidi Heitkamp, of course. Joe Manchin, duh, because he's basically a Republican. I mean, he's the bluest of the Blue Dog Democrats, although that makes no sense. I should say he's the biggest dog of the Blue Dog Democrats. He's just a Republican. He's Republican light, and sometimes not even so goddamn light. John Tester voted for him. Mark Warner, and the independent who caucuses with the Democrats, Angus King, voted for him. Now, I think you had Elizabeth Warren earlier vote for him, but it was just to, like, get out of committee or something. And there was a giant backlash online, and she was like, no, see, what had happened was the sun was in my eyes, and I think that whoever came next would have been worse, and therefore I went with Ben Carson because something, I wrote a nice letter to him, and he wrote a nice letter back, whatever, shut up. But apparently, she got the message, and she was like, yeah, can't vote for him. What are you doing? There's no reason to do this. Now, for those of you who, I don't know, maybe are just new to politics and you haven't been following, especially somebody like Ben Carson for all that long, let me play for you his greatest hit here and then tell you all the other things about him that are disastrous.
You know, Obamacare is really, I think, the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery. And it is, in a way, it is slavery.
I hope you're proud of yourselves, Democrats. Who says that? That's, okay, strike one, you're out. There's no two and three when you say something like that. Obamacare, in a way, it is slavery. Huh? I mean, it's the worst thing that happened in this nation since slavery. What? Giving, what, 20 million, 30 million more people health care? Now, again, you guys know, I don't love Obamacare. It's a right-wing reform. But any reform was better to our health care system than what we had, because our health care system, it was the joke of the world. It still is, but it was even worse then. But you're saying it's a bad thing, and it's like slavery? That's it. You're done. You're such an extremist that's it. We can't consider you nothing. But of course, like I just told you, he got 58 frickin' votes to become the head of housing and urban development. Now, furthermore, this is a guy who still to this day calls gay rights extra rights. He's against gay marriage because he says that's extra rights. Because if they want to get married, they can get married. They just got to get married to somebody of the opposite sex. Gotcha. No, you didn't get anybody. That's so stupid. He also said abortion is human sacrifice. He said that Obama is driven by Mein Kampf and Lenin. I don't even know where to begin with that one. Really? So Obama read Hitler. And went, yeah, this is what I want to do. Which is why, of course, Obama proceeded when he got in office to put us all in FEMA camps and do another Holocaust. Oh, that's right. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. And to the extent he actually did kill people, you support it. So when he does the drone strikes and gets 90% the wrong people overseas, and when he continues the Iraq war and continues the Afghanistan war, there you got nothing to say about that. You're actually for that. You're for that. And he said God was behind his campaign for president. Turns out God was wrong, bitch. I love all the Republicans. God's with me. God's with me. How many of them have said it? Rick Santorum said it at one time. Michelle Bachmann said it. Yep, God. God, Rick Perry, I think, said it too. Ben Carson said the same thing. Yep, no, God. God was the one who pushed me to run. Well, apparently God's meter was off, because if he wanted you to win, you came in like 32nd. So what happened, God? He was an off day. God's omnipotent meter was broken that day. And he doesn't believe in evolution. We have a neurosurgeon who doesn't believe in evolution. In fact, I think he said it was like a lie from Satan or something like that. So basically, one of the world's most unreasonable people, who was it that said, I forget who said it, like Ben Carson single-handedly destroys the stereotype that neurosurgeons are smart. This guy is approved to be head of Housing and Urban Development. And by the way, that really is disastrous, because he's a rabid privatizer. He wants to privatize everything. So you're going to put somebody in charge of housing and urban development, and he doesn't even believe in government. I mean, that's fucking crazy. So even when you narrow down, you know, the parameters to only things involving what his job is now, he has zero experience. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. But furthermore, he just wants to privatize everything. So it's such a disaster. And again, 58 votes in favor, which means many Democrats said, I'm going to vote for him. You guys are a joke, man. You guys are pathetic. There's no reason to vote yes on him, even if he gets approved, because the Republicans have the majority. Why would you vote for him? There's no reason to vote for him. There's none. There's none. And you can't make Elizabeth Warren's argument of the next person will be more unreasonable. You can't make that argument, because I just told you he's one of the most unreasonable fucking people on the planet. Look at what he said. He's a crazy fundamentalist religious person. He's massively illogical. And he's a zealot, a privatization zealot. These fucking JusticeDemocrats.com. You got to go sign up, man. You got to go sign up. We don't play around. We Justice Democrats would never vote for somebody like this. It's not even a question. You laugh when somebody says, "Oh, are you for or against Ben Carson?" So it's a sick joke. You got a bunch of Democrats to vote for somebody who said Obamacare is slavery. Okay. Now, let's continue. I got one more massively depressing story here about a pick that was approved. Some of you might already know who I'm talking about. Rick Perry was confirmed yesterday to lead the Department of Energy. Get this. He was approved with 62 votes. 62, which means not only did some Democrats vote for him, many Democrats voted for him. So who are those Democrats? Well, we had Mark Warner, Joe Manchin, of course, he's a given, Heidi Heitkamp, Tom Udall, Catherine Cortez Masto, Debbie Stabenow, Claire McCaskill, John Tester, Tom Carper, Joe Donnelly, and independent Angus King, who caucuses with the Democrats. 62 votes. Rick Perry is now in charge of the Department of Energy. He leads the Department of Energy. Hey, by the way, did you guys know the Department of Energy is in charge of our nuclear arsenal? A bunch of Democrats just voted to put Rick Perry in charge of our nuclear arsenal. It's like we live in a bad dream. A nightmare, that's what it is. It's a nightmare. We live in a nightmare. How can you do that? Rick Perry? Okay, Rick Perry famously said, I want to eliminate the Department of Energy. I can't. When somebody admits that they don't believe in a given agency, that's it. There's no further discussion. I'm not going to pick you to lead that agency. I mean, think about it in any other context. if there was somebody who was a police officer who said, look, I don't believe in policing. I don't think police should exist. How would we all react if somebody said, oh, we're going to pick you to lead the department? We say, what? That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. He just said he doesn't believe in it. Why would you pick him to lead it? Well, I don't know. And then the Democrats vote for him too. Try this at your job. Go in tomorrow and say, look, I know I'm supposed to have that accounting report on your desk tomorrow. Here's the deal. I don't believe in accounting reports. I don't believe in them. What are the chances they say, how about you head the department? Zero. What are the chances they say, you're fired? 100%. But in government, somehow, everything's backwards. In government, yeah, I don't believe in it. Oh, we're going to pick you to lead it. And the Democrats are going to roll over like the little punk bitches that they are. This is so sad. And, of course, this is on top of all the awkward. I mean, look, it's irrelevant that he was on Dancing with the Stars, okay? But he was on Dancing with the Stars. Like, this is where this guy's mind is. There was speculation. Now, I'm not going after him for this. I feel bad for the guy. But there was speculation, and it seemed pretty merited, that he had and maybe still has an addiction problem, that he got addicted to pain pills. This all seems pretty important, and a lot of these things, maybe not the pain pill thing, but the fact he doesn't believe in the agency seems like a disqualifying thing, and never mind the fact that he's really not smart. I mean, what was it? Obama picked, like, some Ivy League genius to lead the Department of Energy. Why? Because you probably should have some fucking really, really smart person running it. And Trump picked one of the dumbest fucking politicians in the country. I can't, man. Rick Perry with 62 votes. Justice, Democrats, people, like, you know, some people get mad at me, like, oh, you're bringing it up too much. What do you want me to do? That's the fucking answer. The answer is Democrats with backbone. The answer is Democrats who are not corrupt and who are principled and who will fight. We have, at a time where we need stronger Democrats than ever, we have the weakest Democrats ever, to the point where many of them vote for Rick Perry to lead the Department of Energy. What is there to gain by voting for him? There's nothing to gain. Again, even if, we couldn't win, you know, Rick Perry ended up getting through. Why not apply pressure and fight, because you know he's not smart and you know we shouldn't have this position. He doesn't believe in the agency. Why not fight and maybe chip away and get, he passes with 51 votes. Why not do that? I'm so angry. Rick Perry and Ben Carson approved for top government positions in the same day. And the Democrats are, it's like that cartoon, the This Is Fine cartoon. This is fine. This is fine. That's good. That's good. We just voted for a fucking crazy person. But it's all right. Don't worry about it. Rick Perry's totally qualified for the job. This is fine. You're going to keep losing elections if you don't stop snubbing your base. Rule number one of politics is don't piss off your base. Rule number one in the Democratic Party is piss off your base. Okay. It is break time, bitch. 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 All right. When we come back, one of the funniest headlines of all time for you. And a bunch of right-wing commentators go full fundamentalist. And we laugh. All right. Stay right there, guys. Yeah.
and had to rain. A little out of touch, little insane. Just easier than dealing with the pain. Wrong way train, never going back. Wrong way on a one-way track. Seems like I should be getting somewhere.
Tweeting about this last night, and it deserves a show mention if I don't say so myself. Not my tweet, but the headline in question. Let me pull that up. Okay, here we go. So I have a headline to show you guys that I think is really sad and pathetic, but funny at the same time. I'm thinking of doing a segment. I'm not really going to do this, but since I have two different stories that fit this mold today, it just got me thinking about it. The segment could be titled Stupid Headlines or Funny Headlines or Dumbest Headlines Ever or something like that. As you can see, it's in the works in my mind. I'm not actually going to do it, but you'll see what made me flirt with that idea in a second. This is a headline from The Hill, and it shows you what's going on at the DNC. Take a look. Dems flip script to woo millennials, comma, big donors. I have some news for the DNC. Those two are mutually exclusive. You imbeciles. How do they still not get that at this late date, man? I mean, they're so clueless. So you read through the article, and you find out that here's their comprehensive plan to woo millennials. They say, well, we're going to have more transparency with where the money goes at the DNC. So when Debbie Wasserman Schultz was in control, it was basically her and a few people in her inner circle who would decide where all the money goes to the various state parties and stuff. And we're going to be more transparent. We're going to be more open. Okay, that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong, but what, you think that's going to lead to a wave of millennial support for you guys? That ain't nearly enough. And then they say, well, it's cool because also on the DNC website, we're going to have educational videos about what we stand for. Yeah. Millennials are going to be really excited over that. And then they say, we might even have a feature where instead of just donating to the general DNC fund, you could donate to, one or two other specific causes. Like, I want to raise money for this particular race. Okay, again, that's a decent idea, but you think that's going to lead to, all of a sudden there's an influx of hundreds of thousands of millennials donating their time and donating their money. That's simply not going to happen. And then they allude to, oh, yeah, and also, you know, Keith Ellison is now the deputy chair, so we're thinking that maybe Keith can talk to Bernie and make it so that Bernie gives us his email list. Oh, that's what it's about. Yeah, if you were to get that email list, it wouldn't help you in any way. Because you're the people, the DNC, you fucked Bernie Sanders. You're the people who screwed him over. We know, we've read the emails. Whether it's, you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz at the time pressuring MSNBC and the media to basically go softer on her and Hillary Clinton. I don't like the way you're covering. Maybe I'll talk to your boss. Maybe I'll talk to Phil Griffin and see what happens. So applying pressure, obviously trying to hide the debates. Of course, there was the internal discussion about atheist shaming Bernie Sanders in the Midwest, Donna Brazile leaking, you know, questions to Hillary Clinton. I mean, it's so clear. We're changing the voting times in different states or pro-Bernie counties, counties that are more rural and more likely to go pro-Bernie, celebrating the lack of open primaries. So you're happier with the closed primaries because you know it helps Hillary, even though fewer people get to vote and it's less Democratic. I mean, you screwed him, and now you're not even acknowledging that you screwed him. And then you're going, I bet his supporters will love to donate to us. They're going to, if they, they will print out DNC emails to them and use them as fucking toilet paper. That's what will happen. So it's not going to work. And furthermore, Bernie already said, I'm not going to give it. He said it repeatedly. And you know what they mentioned in the article? They said, yeah, but it took a while for the DNC to get Obama's fundraising emails too. So they worked on Obama, worked on Obama, worked on Obama, and he was like, okay, fine, here, I'll give it. Bernie's not going to fold, man, because Bernie knows they're not, those aren't, like, what do you think, they're lemmings? Like, okay, they supported Bernie, and now Bernie is saying, now you should support the DNC. Okay, I guess I'm supporting the DNC. No, they'll say, fuck you with a trillion demon dicks from hell. I don't care. You have to prove it. And by the way, there's no acknowledgement in the article of, oh, maybe people liked Bernie because of his policies. Maybe they actually liked him because he stood for an unapologetic progressive vision and he was serious about it. And then, again, the headline proves it because they say, Dems flip script to woo millennials, big donors. You have to choose between the two. You can't have both. If you have big donors, millennials go, fuck you, I'm out. Because I know, ultimately, when I give you $15, you're not going to listen to me. You don't care about me. What you're really going to do is listen to the big money donors. Duh, it's human nature. If somebody gives you a giant check, you're more likely to take their phone call than if a grandma from Toledo, Ohio, gives you a check for $18. I mean, come on, man. This is so obvious. But look, man, I'm going through all this. JusticeDemocrats.com. You have to go to JusticeDemocrats.com. We're the solution. We're the answer. Our candidates take no big donor money. Our candidates take no billionaire money. We only take money from the people, from working people, from regular people, because we only want to represent you. And by the way, that's not, like, the long-term goal is not that. We don't even want to have to take money from you. We want to have a clean election public financing system. So you don't have to ask anybody for anything. I hate the fact that anybody has to ask anybody for money when it comes to politics. I mean, what a gross perversion of what politics is supposed to be. But as of right now, you have this virus that's money in politics, and all the Republicans are massively corrupt. They're just a front group for corporate America, with sprinkled in with Christian fundamentalism. And the Democrats, of course, are also, unfortunately, sellouts. The corporate Democrats are the problem within the party. They don't represent working people anymore. They don't represent regular people anymore. So that's what Justice Democrats is about. We're actually going to fight for the policies that you want. Single payer, a living wage, end the wars, free college. We're going to fight on these fronts and not back down, and we're principled and we refuse to take the corporate money and the big donor money. So if you're tired of banging your head against the wall when you see headlines like that, Dems flip script to woo millennials and big donors, join us, man, JusticeDemocrats.com. It's the right thing to do. We got to take over the party. We can't sit back anymore. This ridiculous, like, let's give them 3% change by putting in Tom Perez, who's slightly more progressive than Debbie Wasserman Schultz. It ain't gonna work, and your little appeasement strategy of let's make Keith Ellison deputy chair. Every single person who's a millennial, who's a Bernie supporter, saw through that. And we know you're trying to pull the wool over our eyes to continue business as usual while pretending on the surface to be more progressive. It ain't going to work anymore. McLiberalism is done. It's time for a real wave of true liberalism and progressivism. Okay. Next. I have one of the funniest headlines of all time here for you. This is from Huffington Post. It says, Bush ethics lawyer Jeff Sessions may go to jail if he lied to Congress. The Attorney General is accused of lying to Congress about conversations with the Russia ambassador. Okay, so look, don't get me wrong. I covered this story yesterday. It appears clear that he committed perjury. So he said, no, I didn't have any conversations with the Russian ambassador or with Russians as when I was working as a surrogate for President Trump and the time candidate Trump. That didn't happen, and I don't know of anybody who did. No. So, okay, he says that, and he says it under oath, and then come to find out he did have conversations, I think multiple conversations with the Russian ambassador. Now, I don't buy the conspiracy and the heavy implication from the partisan Democrats that, oh, yet another connection between Trump and Russia, and I think that this means what? What does it mean? He's a puppet of Vladimir Putin? I mean, how would that even manifest? What exactly are you afraid of here? They can't even articulate it. So I don't buy that. Here's what I know, though. He committed perjury. He lied under oath. And according to Jeff Sessions himself, that's an inexcusable crime. So he recused himself from investigations involving Russia, but he didn't resign. He didn't step down from Attorney General. He should do that. So don't get me wrong. I'm not, taking that lightly. Yeah, it was serious. They're arguing in this piece here that, maybe he actually can go to jail over it. I doubt that's going to happen. Whether or not he should is a separate question. But what I find hilarious about it is Bush ethics lawyer. Jeff Sessions may go to jail if he lied to Congress. Bush ethics lawyer. Okay, that's going to be the worst lawyer of all time. Bush ethics lawyer. What did George W. Bush, by the way, not H.W., but what did George W. Bush do? Let's see. I don't know. Started an illegal war with a country that didn't attack us, occupied it, and killed minimum hundreds of thousands of civilians. By the way, according to the U.N., that's an illegal war. The U.N. said it. So, brazen violations of international law. Even when we learned, hey, the whole pretext for the war was it's not true, we were like, that's nice. We're just going to stay here. Wait, what? That's crazy. Could you imagine any other country? We invaded a country because we heard that you did an attack on us. Oh, we just learned you didn't do an attack on us. Okay, we're going to stay here anyway and keep fighting. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. That's fucking crazy. Shows you wasn't really about that. It was, oh, he did 9/11. Okay, he didn't do 9/11. Oh, but he has weapons of mass destruction. Okay, but he's not going to use them on us, number one. There's no evidence of that. Number two, even if he did have it, it's not an imminent threat against us, even if we're not happy that he has it. But, okay, so they say he has weapons of mass destruction. That wasn't even true. And then it was just he's a bad guy. There's a lot of people around the world who are bad guys. It doesn't mean you topple their fucking government. George Bush was a bad guy. Donald Trump is a bad guy. Does Iran have the right to come in here and do regime change and topple him? That's fucking mental. What are we talking about here? Bush ethics lawyer. Bush set up a worldwide torture regime. That's not under dispute. It's not like, well, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. No, we know he did. It's a fact. Bush ethics lawyer is lecturing about Jeff Sessions might go to jail because he said the wrong thing. Yeah, maybe he should go to jail because he said the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying? No, because you're Bush's ethics lawyer, and you apparently missed illegal wars, brazen violations of international law, torture, and, I don't know, spying on every American, brazen violation of the Constitution and your protection from Fourth Amendment protection from unreasonable search and seizure. They store all of your metadata, all of it. It's in a facility in fucking Utah, multi-billion-dollar facility. And this guy's going to talk about Jeff Sessions. He said the wrong words at the wrong time. He said the wrong words, so he might have to go to jail. My guy, who does illegal wars and kills innocent people and continues to occupy countries that didn't attack us and tortures and spies on everybody and, you know, had let Wall Street get away with the biggest financial heist of all time and bailed them out because of the corruption in the system. That guy, no, he's cool. Bush did nothing wrong at all. Bush, ethics lawyer. Bush, ethics lawyer, and then whatever he says, just dismiss it. Now, he happens to maybe be right about Sessions because he committed perjury and technically he could go to jail. I don't think he's gonna, but he could. But I have no interest in anything Bush's ethics lawyer says other than, I'm sorry. That's it. That's all I want to hear from you, is I'm sorry. Because I apparently was asleep for fucking 8 years. Now all of a sudden I wake up. Piss off, you loathsome cretin. Bush ethics lawyer. Bush ethics lawyer is a sentence that's like, midget NBA player. That's what that is. Unbelievable. Okay, after I'm done rubbing my eyes here. Next. All right, let's go to the fundamentalists and what they're ranting about today. A bunch of right-wing commentators have gone full fundamentalist. And they're claiming that the left are using witches and demons against Donald Trump.
Can the spirits hurt us if we are both Christians?
The Bible says a curse causeless cannot lie. And some, let me, can't rest on you, some demon power, they try to curse you, but in the name of Jesus, you take it back. And I may add, I read that a bunch of witches has got together to put a curse on Trump. And I think the Christians need to be praying for him to defend him, but at the same time, send those curses back where they came from.
This is an evil day. And, you know, Steve Bannon is right. This conflict is going to heat up because the other side, they're throwing everything they have into the breach, including now demons. I mean, realize what the left is doing now in this battle over the future of our country. They are throwing the very demons of hell at those that are trying to represent what is good and best and right for this country.
So all you fakes want to get close to God, stop being cowards. Be like Donald Trump. And that witch raises her head on the day that she publicly supports witchcraft and Satanism and black magic. They were in the news saying, hope Trump dies, voodoo dolls. Have you seen what happened to Haiti, what happened in New Orleans? Voodoo and devil worship. Isn't it funny they have devil worship in Africa, even before they ever heard from Christians? And China had devil worship, and the Aztecs had devil worship, because it's real, folks. It's an archetype, either way you cut it. It's a spirit. And any time a culture starts invoking Satan, every time it happens, there are mass wars, casualties, and death. And only corrupt, twisted, weak societies ever call on Satan. Any strong society always calls on the Great Spirit, as some Native Americans called it. We're talking about the same thing in my view.
So God gave us a reprieve, and this thing is spiritual. It really is spiritual. And so we need, this land is so important, and I counsel you, pray for this nation, pray for the president, pray for this nation, but what's being done against him, surpasses. It's not human. It's a spiritual thing.
Where do I begin with this? You know what I think gets under my skin more than anything? How the way they talk about it and the way they frame it, they act like they're straight shooters and that they're saying something factual. You know, like, it's not even, when you say something so ridiculous, you would think any normal human being, even if they believe what they're saying here, that they would frame it as like, this is what I think is happening. Like, I think there are demons and witches and there's spiritual warfare going on against our beloved dear leader, President Trump. And they frame it as like, maybe. But no, these guys are so fucking far gone and so ridiculous that they frame it as if they're discussing facts. Like, they know for sure. Like, Alex Jones is Mr., I figured everything out. I'm the genius who read between the lines and figured out all the conspiracies that are happening everywhere, and I'm here to give you the truth. That's why it's called InfoWars.com. It's information, people. Info. And then he goes on to say, yeah, look at what happened in Haiti and New Orleans. I mean, there's voodoo and devil worship. Quote, it's real, folks. So the earthquake in Haiti, Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans, that's all because they did voodoo and devil worship, and that's God going, mwahaha, I will punish you by sending weather events that will affect you in a negative way. Mwahaha. How do you believe that, man? Like, even the premise of what you're talking, right from the premise, you're wrong. See, in order to make that claim, there would need to be proof that there indeed are, you know, demons and angels and a God who's controlling the fucking weather. You skip right past all that shit, because of course you can't prove it, because you're just a metaphysical, nonsense-believing clown, and you go right to, not only do all those things exist, but I know they're going after my political enemies, and I know they're going after the people who do voodoo and devil worship. Like, in these guys' minds, I'm not kidding, I think that they really believe, like, okay, witches are real in, like, the fly around on a broomstick, have green skin sense. Like, I know, sometimes on the show I've said before, witches aren't real, and people who are Wiccans are like, how dare you? I'm offended. Pipe down. You know what I mean. You could practice whatever goofy religion you want to practice and call yourself whatever you want to call yourself. I'm talking about the ones you see in, like, the Halloween fucking movies with the broomsticks and the, my little pretty, with the fucking noses and the warts and the green face and shit. Like, I think they really believe in it. Look, so who was it? Robertson first said, witches put a curse on Trump. What? Fisher says they're throwing demons of hell at Trump. As if what? Like Michael Moore and Code Pink get in a room and they're like, have we unleashed the demons of hell on Trump yet? Jones with the voodoo and the devil worship, quote, it's real, folks. Mr. Straight Shooter, just totally going full religious fundamentalist on us. And Robertson at the end with spiritual warfare. There's spiritual warfare going on against Trump. You know, this is what you do when you can't have a discussion about the actual policies that he's pushing for. They can't actually defend what he's doing. So this is what you do. You say everybody who's against him are corrupted by demons and Satan and their witches. And, you know, they're attacking him because they're profoundly evil. Well, why are you guys saying you? There's no evidence of that. You don't even know if there is fucking metaphysical wizards in space with the, and there's, again, I certainly don't believe it, but apparently they believe it. So why would you do it? Because they can't fight against the fact that, well, Trump, in his very first move as president, his first executive order, increased taxes on the middle class. That's what he did. There was an effective tax break for first-time homebuyers. He rolled that back. That was his very first act as president. They can't say, hey, that's wrong. So what do you say? Devil worshippers, voodoo believers, you're using black magic against our dear leader. You know, they can't defend the fact that he just appointed, a Goldman Sachs guy to Treasury Secretary, a guy who owned One West Bank and was foreclosing on senior citizens all across the country. This guy cares about the people? This is the right guy for Treasury Secretary? A guy who was at a criminal organization like Goldman Sachs, who did fraud as a business model. Guys responsible for crashing the fucking economy. Gary Cohn, who was the president of Goldman Sachs, and now he leads Trump's economic council. You can't defend that now, can you? You can't defend Trump passing an executive order that says, I now am decreeing that coal companies are allowed to pollute our waterways. Can't defend that now, can you? You can't defend Mr. Alex Jones, Mr. Anti-imperialism, because that was one of his biggest things he used to talk about under Bush all the time and under Obama. All military adventurism, we got to stop this, not necessary. This is the Illuminati and the Bilderbergs doing their thing. Now, all of a sudden, Trump just proposed a $54 billion increase in U.S. military spending, when our military budget, already over 50% of our discretionary budget, goes to the military. We spend more than the next nine biggest countries combined, and most of them are our allies, on military spending. We already have the biggest military in human history. Trump increases it by $54 billion. And where's Alex Jones now? Now all of a sudden he's got nothing to say. Now all of a sudden U.S. imperialism is a good thing because Daddy Trump is doing it. This is what you do. When you can't fight on the policy issues, you just strawman your opponents. And the way that he's strawmanning his opponents here is the most ridiculous of all possible ways. Because you go to the shit that's religious. You go to the shit that's fundamentalist. You go to the shit that's metaphysical. You go to the shit that's made up. Their heads are planted firmly in their ass, and all they're doing is playing defense now. That's what it is. And the best defense is a good offense, so you just accuse the people who are against your dear leader of being demons and being witches and, you know, casting curses on them. Or maybe he's just a really shitty president, and the only good thing he's done so far is kill TPP. Maybe that. Or how about that? That's the reality. You can't acknowledge that reality, so you argue that wizards in space are engaged in a cosmic battle, and all your political enemies just happen to be on the side of Satan and demons. Cool story, bro. Okay, now we actually got to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to get into, I got a bunch. It's going to be like a speed round for you in the last 30 minutes. Minimum wage protesters being harassed. And pretty big news here about some unsuspected support for the transgender community. That's interesting. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back with all of that and much more.
Motherfucker, put it down for North Carolina, guess what? fake, so I'm gonna drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the left, real nigga, left, the left. It's like I'm on an island by myself, the left. Please don't make me slap you with the left, the left. You a fake, so I'm gonna drop you with the left, the left. I feel like I'm the left, real nigga, left, the left. It's like I'm on an
island. All right, we are back, y'all. All right, we continue. Minimum wage protesters are being harassed by police officers in Tennessee. This is a really wild story. So Karima Towns reports here. The Memphis Police Department repeatedly photographed, filmed, trailed, and intimidated Fight for 15 organizers, according to a federal lawsuit filed on Wednesday. The plaintiffs argue they were also smeared by government officials who added their names to a blacklist that was published by local news outlets. Members of the Mid-South Organizing Committee, which is involved in the Fight for 15 fair wage movement, claim that they have been victims of harassment and surveillance for many years. Police not only appear at lawful protests that involve fast food employees and home care workers, they say, but also bully them by taking pictures and videos of their activities, threatening to arrest them, stalking them around the city in police vehicles, and following them to their homes. You know, they don't have anything else more important to be doing. Like, you know, maybe chasing down murderers and rapists and criminals. You know, I would say going after drug crimes, but keep it real. People shouldn't be getting arrested for, you know, having a little bit of drugs on them. But that's what the police department's apparently involved in, shaking down people with, that have a little bit of drugs on them and stalking and intimidating and going after and cracking down on people who are fighting for a living wage. That is the most American thing you could do. These people are just using their First Amendment rights guaranteed to them in the Constitution of the United States of America. They're being heard in what's supposed to be a democracy. They're fighting to improve the quality of life of everybody around them. And to the police department, that's a crime. Which leads to the inevitable conclusion. Who are the cops working for? I mean, the whole idea is, hey, we pay taxes, so the cops are supposed to serve and protect us, the people, the citizens. Well, those people who are, you know, protesting for a $15 minimum wage, they're tax-paying citizens. They're technically the cops' boss. So if they're the cops' boss, then why are the cops stalking their bosses when they've done nothing wrong? So maybe the reality is the police department isn't really representing the people. They're not really protecting and serving the taxpayers. I mean, the logical conclusion here is that they're protecting the corporations, and namely the CEOs, the owners, the management class at the corporations. Again, that's not, you know, it's not me saying it. If they're cracking down on protesters who are looking for a living wage, well, I mean, the only people they're fighting for then are the corporations and the owner class, the elites. Because when you look at polling data, the overwhelming majority of the American people, it's 80% of the American people that want to raise the minimum wage. I mean, we're talking about a majority of Democrats, a majority of independents, even a majority of Republicans say, yeah, raise the minimum wage. But the cops are cracking down on people who aren't breaking the law, who are just fighting to make the minimum wage a living wage. So they're doing the bidding of the corporations. You do know that one of the definitions of fascism, and this is according to Mussolini, the godfather of fascism, he said it's when corporations and the state merge. So they're one. I mean, this is exactly that. This is where you have corporations and the state, the cops, merging, and now the cops are doing the bidding of the corporations, the owner class of the corporation. Man, this is some scary stuff. By the way, the media loves to muck up fake scandals. Yet again, here's a real scandal. This is a real scandal, and I only saw one site cover it and one journalist cover it. So credit to Karima Towns here, but this is what CNN should be talking about. This is what MSNBC should be talking about. This is what Fox News should be talking about. But no, they're not going to discuss this. The nightly news aren't going to discuss it because, again, they're part of the same system. They're elite. They're part of the establishment. Those people get a lot of money to just read the prompter. It's like Burgundy. Put anything in the prompter, he'll read it. That's what these guys do. That's what Wolf Blitzer does. That's what Don Lemon does. That's what all the different nightly news hosts do on CBS and ABC and NBC. So they're not going to portray a picture of the world that is against their donors and the class that they're a member of. So they're going to give you sensationalism stories, stories that do the bidding of the establishment, both the Republicans and the Democrats. Meanwhile, there are people out there who are really fighting for a better future, to improve the quality of life, for economic justice, and this is how they get treated. They get harassed by officers, and, you know, very few people are discussing it when this is a real scandal. They want to have a permanent underclass, and they're using the cops to enforce that, to have people work at a wage that's not a living wage. That's wage slavery. We want you to work full-time and not make enough money to survive, and we're going to have the cops enforce that. What a sick, broken, disgusting system. And all the propaganda arguments against the living wage. That's exactly what they are, propaganda. I mean, what I think the minimum wage in Australia is about $18 an hour. How are they doing? Did their system collapse yet? How are they? You know, apparently in Denmark and some Scandinavian places, they don't even have a minimum wage because everybody's unionized, and as a result of the unionization, they collectively bargain for wages that are much higher than a minimum wage would be anyway. Here in the U.S., we have people working for $7.25 an hour, can't pay the fucking bills, and then when people try to protest to make it better, the cops, the power of the state is used to crack down on people who are just fighting for basic human rights. It's so sick. And of course we stand with the protesters here and against the Memphis Police Department. And this is a disgusting joke. Okay. Next. I have some pretty surprising news here about the religious community stepping up to the plate to fight for an unexpected person. So Huffington Post explains, more than 1,800 religious leaders threw their support behind a transgender student's Supreme Court case on Thursday. They argue that equal treatment for transgender individuals like Virginia teen Gavin Grimm does not threaten religious liberty. Grimm is fighting for the right to use the high school restroom that aligns with his gender identity. The Supreme Court is set to hear oral arguments in his lawsuit against the Gloucester County School Board at the end of March. Okay, so it's not just 1,800 religious leaders. It's various different religious organizations and groups. And it's also, I saw another headline that I think 53 corporations have also come out in support of this transgender student here. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm under no illusions. I know the corporations, for example, it's the oldest trick in the book that they use. What they do is they'll be liberal and open-minded and tolerant on social issues, and they do that to try to garner popular support so that, of course, they could turn around on economic issues and fight for you to not have a living wage if you work a full-time job. So I know it's cynical on part of the corporations. For the religious leaders, no, there are actually some genuinely, you know, liberal religious organizations out there and religious leaders out there who are doing the right thing because they think, hey, this is the right thing to do and we shouldn't discriminate. So that's a good thing. Now, on the issue in general here, though, I don't get the conservative position. I really don't. If you have a transgender individual, why not just let them pick the bathroom they're more comfortable in? Why is that? Does that have to be a scandal? Why is that like you're so outraged and so triggered that, you know, you try to block them from pissing in a certain bathroom or shitting in a certain bathroom. As a general rule, I don't give a shit where you shit. So I don't get it, man. Why are they so against this? So Obama, I think he did an executive order, maybe on his way out, where he said, okay, transgender students, this is now an executive order at the federal level. Transgender people can use the bathroom of their choice, and in schools, they get to use the bathroom of their choice. And the conservatives were so triggered by this microaggression, the snowflakes, that they immediately were like, no, we're not going to do that. That's not happening. But think about it. Wouldn't it be much more weird their way? So in other words, if you're, let's say you're biologically born male, but you're a transgender woman, and you've already gone through all the things you're going to go through, and so, I mean, you are a woman. Like, somebody looks at you, and they go, oh, that's a woman. Wouldn't it be weirder the conservative way, where they say, no, you must go in the bathroom with your biological gender? So you have a woman walking into a man's bathroom. Wouldn't that lead to more eyebrow raising? What the fuck is going on here? Than if you had this transgender woman going to the woman's bathroom. I don't get it. And then furthermore, they love to make these arguments, these hypothetical arguments about, well, what if in there's like, you know, some assault or something sexually, and that's why people do this transgender thing, is that they're using it as a ruse to get in there and then molest kids or something. Yeah, but you just made that up. When you ask them to provide, give me evidence of that, they're like, no, I'm just saying that it could happen. Well, what the fuck's the problem then? What are you talking about? You know, and by that logic, why would it just have to be, you know, a trans thing? Why wouldn't it you also be concerned about public bathrooms in general, where other adults can go in there and people's kids can go in there? Doesn't have to be a transgender issue. Are you just concerned about sexual assault? No, but you're not, because you don't care about it. If it's like a straight situation, if it's, you know, or the same genders or whatever, you don't care about it, but you add a trans person to it and you just assume, well, obviously now everybody's going to be sexually assaulted. No, but you just made that up. And again, the weirder scenario is to make somebody, force them to abide by their biological gender when they no longer, I mean, imagine somebody who was biologically born female, but they're a transgender man. They go through everything they got to go through, and then, you know, it's a man walking into a woman's bathroom. That would lead to more, oh, what's happening here? You know? That would lead to more eyebrow-raising, whoa, 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 are you in the wrong bathroom? But when you have, you know, a transgender man or a transgender woman going into the bathroom of their choice and of their identity now, that seems to me to be the easiest solution here. And also just, it, you know, there are conservatives who still haven't tried to understand transgenderism. So, look, I wasn't born perfect on this stuff, and I wasn't enlightened from day one. Of course I wasn't. So, if you were to talk to me, who knows, maybe when I was even 16, 17 years old about this, I wouldn't have gotten it. I would have been like, wait, what? So what even is transgenderism? Like, okay, so you were born this, but you want to be that. But you're not that. So what do you mean? But then you sit down and you listen to people who are trans, and they'll tell you, like, no. See, this is how you have to look at it. Look at it as, so if you're a straight, you know, cis, I think that's the right word, man, like I am, it's like if I were to wake up every day and somebody were to force me, okay, now you have to put on your wig, now you have to go in full makeup, you have to put on your red lipstick, you have to put on your fake eyelashes, you have to wear this pretty pink dress, and now you need to go out in public. How would I feel if I was forced to go out in public like that? I'd be like, whoa, I'm miserable, because this is not coinciding with my reality and who I am and what I am, so I'm living a lie, and I'm out there in public, everybody's looking at me like this and treating me like I'm now this, but that's not what I am. And that's when it clicks. Oh, fuck. That's how trans people feel walking around as their biological gender. They feel like they're being forced. They know inside they're the opposite. So, you're torturing them by making them abide by what their biological gender is. And when you view it from that perspective and you understand this is real and it's not just made up, then you go, oh, okay. So now, then you have sympathy for them. You have empathy. You go, oh, I see where you're coming from. And then you get it. Okay, so you're a trans man. You're a trans woman. This is the bathroom you go in. This is the bathroom you go in. And all they want is just recognition as what they are. And that's it. And there's no downside. These are from the people who say they love liberty and freedom. When you have a trans person saying, look, this is not difficult. I just want to go in the bathroom of my choice that coincides with my gender now, with my gender identity. The small government people, the people who want liberty and freedom, go, no, I must stop your liberty and your freedom and, you know, interject here and as a third party determine where you piss and shit. Well, then drop all the talk about freedom and liberty and, you know, independence. And just admit it. Like, yeah, I want to micromanage it because I think it's weird. And I have gender issues and I can't conceive of certain concepts. So I'm just going to crack down on it. At least be honest with what you are. So it's just sad to see. Look, again, I don't give a shit where you shit. That should be the rule in the country. I don't care where you go to the bathroom. That should be federal law. Go to the bathroom wherever you want to go to the bathroom. That's it. And the fact that this is made a political issue because there's obstinate conservatives who say, no, I will not allow that. Well, yet again, you appear quite triggered by this microaggression, and you might need a safe space, you adorable little snowflakes. Okay, now, geez, I'm running out of time already. All right, I got to get in two more. Got to do it, got to do it, got to do it, do. Daniela Vargas is a 22-year-old undocumented immigrant who was brought to the U.S. When she was a child. I think she was just 7 years old, and she was brought here from Argentina. So on Wednesday, she spoke out against Trump's deportation raids at a press conference. And then immediately after, when she was leaving the event, she was swept up by ICE, and now they're trying to deport her. So journalist Esther Lee says here, four agents from the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency pulled over Vargas's car after she left the press conference in Jackson, Mississippi. Agents reportedly told Vargas, you know who we are, you know what we're here for. Vargas's attorney said the following, it could be retaliation. They had been reading about her in the news. They had seen her at this press conference. Maybe they didn't want to hear it anymore. Maybe I'm mistaken on that, but common sense would certainly imply that's what happened. You think? Yeah, maybe just giving a press conference where you talk about how you're scared of Trump's deportation raids and you're an undocumented immigrant. Yeah, maybe that would shine sufficient light on her where I said, let's put an end to this. So they continue here. Vargas became known to the Federal Immigration Agency last month after she hid in a closet while ICE agents arrested her undocumented brother and father. At the time, the agency temporarily arrested and released her because she said she was protected under the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA initiative, a program that grants temporary deportation relief and work authorization to people who were brought to the U.S. as children. So here's the deal. They say about her brother, he's a gang member, he's a criminal, he had to go. If indeed that is true, that he is a criminal, yeah, then I agree. You could deport him, and I think most people would agree. Yeah, you could deport him. He's a criminal, and he's an undocumented immigrant, of course. She's not. She never committed a single crime. They say, she has some traffic issues, traffic violations and whatnot. File that under I don't give a fuck. That's not really a criminal. But they're deporting her either way. Come on, man. So she didn't commit a crime. She was here under the DACA program. And what happened is, so her time ran out for the DACA program. Like, it just expired. I think she was here since she was seven, and it just recently expired. So what did she do? the responsible thing. She said, well, now let me reapply, either under that program, I guess, or maybe a different program. I don't know the details of that aspect of the story. But now her application is pending. While it's pending, they're like, deport her. And again, the real reason is she dared to speak out against Trump's deportation raid. She dared to say, hey, man, this is getting crazy. You know, like, look, it was bad under Obama. 75% of the people he deported were excuse me, 90% of the people he deported were criminals. But he broke a deportation record. So people went, ooh, that's really not that progressive, especially the 10% you deported that weren't criminals. Trump, now that number's going down, and they changed the rules. Now it's 75% criminals. But they said, oh, let's fudge it a little bit and say family members, that's good enough. And, you know, if you were just accused of a crime, and not if you were found guilty, but just accused of one, and now there's even more raids, they're being more brazen about it. There was a story recently about the woman with a brain tumor jacked from the hospital and brought back to a detention center by ICE agents. Come on, man, come on. And now you have an undocumented immigrant who was brave enough to talk about it. Like, okay, look, I was brought here as a child. This is my home. This is the only place I know. And I'm scared about all these raids. And what am I supposed to do? My family's gone, but I'm still here. Again, I was brought here as a kid. What position am I in? Like, what do you want from me? And then they just round her up and they're trying to ship her out. Come on, man. She didn't commit a crime. She's been here since she was 7, and you're going to get rid of her because she dared to speak up. Again, I fancy myself a moderate on the issue of immigration. If you want to deport criminals who are real criminals, I'm not talking about a low-level drug offense. I don't care. Let them stay here. But if you want to deport undocumented immigrants who are criminals, fine. When everyone you do who's not a criminal, fuck you. Fuck you. Because she's not hurting anybody. All she's trying to do is make a life here, brought here as a kid, be happy like the rest of us, get a decent paying job, live the American dream, and you say, fuck off. So we have to realize that, man, that the overwhelming majority of the immigrants who come here, undocumented immigrants, legal immigrants, immigrants period, refugees, they're all just trying to make a better life. Again, the bad ones, the criminals, ship them out, fine. But the ones who are here, who are willing to work hard and do the right thing and follow the laws, yeah. And don't give me the bullshit of, but they broke the law when they came here, undocumented. 7 years old she was. What did you want her to do? Stand up on principle against her parents who were trying to save them all? Human beings they are. Human beings. You have to make a deal to keep the undocumented immigrants here as long as they're not criminals and as long as they're working hard and doing the right thing. You have to do it. It's just the right thing to do. It's that simple. All right, last story of the day here. Last story of the week, son. Raw Story is reporting on some Republicans cracking down on learning. They say, Republican Arkansas State Senator Kim Hendren introduced a bill to the state legislature that will ban the works of historian Howard Zinn from any schools that receive public funds. Zinn is the author of A People's History of the United States, the groundbreaking reexamination of U.S. history in terms of its effects on the poor, people of color, and women. Republicans across the country fought a pitched battle against the federal AP high school history program. Conservatives argue that the curriculum looks at U.S. history through the lenses of race and class, placing too much emphasis on slavery and Native American genocide and not enough on American exceptionalism and the glory of the free market economy. Okay, see, this is hilarious because what's happening here is an Arkansas Republican is proposing a bill where he's saying, look, we're going to ban this propaganda. But in reality, he's the propagandist. They're the propagandists. This is projection 101. They want to do their propaganda about the United States and talk about American exceptionalism, which, by the way, what's another term for exceptional? Supreme. So American exceptionalism is really American supremacist. You think we're better because we're American, period. That would be supremacy. If we're better, that means by definition that others are inferior. So we are superior, they are inferior. In other words, you're a bigot against everybody who's not an American. That's what it is. Again, this is just logical deductions and looking at the words and breaking it down. I mean, that's what it is. So American supremacist, American exceptionalist is American supremacist. They say, no, we must teach that in our textbooks. Okay, so how would you feel, and by the way, I'm sure this is the case, but you look at, you know, textbooks in Iran, or you look at textbooks in Saudi Arabia, and they talk about how you're supreme, you know, you're exceptional, Saudi exceptionalism, Iranian exceptionalism, you know, or Islamic exceptionalism, or whatever. You go, that's gross. Why are you teaching? And at the same time they do this, they have the nerve, half the time, they talk out both sides of their mouth. Half the time it's American exceptionalism, and then the other half the time is, oh, we believe in equality. Wait. You can't. It's one or the other. You can't have it both ways. We're American exceptionalists, but we believe in equality. So we're exceptional, we're supreme, we're superior, but we're equal. What are you, superior or equal? What is it? So any other context in any other country, we'd go, that's rank propaganda. Here in the U.S., they say, oh, we need to focus more on American exceptionalism and the glory of the free market. We would go, oh, that's propaganda. That is propaganda. This is propaganda. 100% this is propaganda. And furthermore, you have to talk about things objectively. When you look at the free market objectively, are there things that have been a success? Yes. Some people in my audience might disagree with that, but I think you're wrong. So, for example, we create really great cars because of the free market and because it's a consumer good and because of competition. You get the lowest price for the highest quality thing. The cars that came out of the Soviet Union were a joke. So are there some aspects of the free market that are great? Yeah, and that should be taught. But then there's also, an unchecked laissez-faire free market capitalist economy led to child labor, led to environmental catastrophes, led to black lung for coal workers because there's no regulation, led to no social safety net because the social safety net is socialist and had to come along later after labor battles and fights. So you have to give all the facts. They're like, no, free market is good and American exceptionalism is true. And as they say that, they have the nerve to say, oh, we got to ban this propaganda from Howard Zinn. No, Howard Zinn is giving you information. He's the one giving you reality. When he focuses on slavery and the Native American genocide, he's focusing on it because it happened. That's why he's doing it. It's not from some irrational animus against, oh, I am anti-America. No, it's let me see the history and let me report it. Oh, look at that. We had slavery for a really long time. We built the country on the backs of these poor slaves, you know, and we got to come to terms with that, and we got to acknowledge that. Yeah, we slaughtered the Native Americans who were here before us. You know, there was a genocide. It is what it is. I mean, that doesn't mean we're saying everybody today is to blame for that. No, it's just saying these are the facts of history, and let's discuss it. But they go, no, that's propaganda. But it's not propaganda for us to talk about American exceptionalism and the free market economy. And by the way, usually that goes hand in hand with Reagan is awesome and fucking, you know, all the founders were really Christian and religious. Other shit that's not true or half true. Howard Zinn's book should stay. By the way, same thing like Noam Chomsky books. The right would scream, oh, my God, how dare you? This is indoctrination. No, you're the ones who want to indoctrinate. Noam Chomsky is the most quoted intellectual alive. You know, he's a brilliant linguist and philosopher and political thinker. And, you know, teaching his thoughts and teaching his philosophy, that's education. On the flip side, the shit that you want to try to push, like, for example, creationism or intelligent design in science class, that's just factually wrong. So you're doing the propaganda. We're doing the education. You can't come to terms with that reality. So you just want to ban the things that teach facts to the kids because you think, well, that'll turn them all liberal. Well, that's one thing you're right about. Okay. Out of time, guys. Love you. We will see you on Monday. Mwah. Peace.